Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you to you all. I don't know if you've had an experience where you've come back from something exciting and you're trying to explain to somebody, but you can't get the words out quick enough for your mind to process them. And it's a gabbled sequence of excitement. That you might not have quite done that, but you certainly get it from young children. Yeah? And coming back from recent visits to the art project, some of our little kids went upstairs. And they were very proud that they would be the first children in living history to have been upstairs. And they came back telling me with such excitement, actually, they had to tell me three times before I understood actually what happened. Because it was all a jumble of tripping over themselves in the excitement of the moment. Fantastic. And I pray that that would be our experience for generations to come. Yeah. And it's a little bit about that with Paul when he writes to the Ephesian church. I'm sure he's not tripping over himself, but he cannot contain himself in terms of the revelation of God and the presence of God as he writes to them from jail. The most amazing epistle. And the letter to the Ephesians is just linked in over and over again. About two-thirds of it is, and another thing, and as I was saying, and another thing. He just hammers this home, he's bubbling over with stuff. So this is the beginning of Ephesians. Well, I'd like you to say amen when I get to the bottom of this. Praise be to the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ.
Amen.
Wow, fantastic. He's full of it, Paul, and he writes to these people in Ephesians, and loads of these sections that he's writing, and he goes, and for this reason, and then you get a load more great theology, and then he says, and therefore, and loads of more stuff, and then consequently, loads more stuff, and for this reason, and for this reason. He's overflowing and overflowing. In chapter 3, he comes to this and says, for this reason, a passage many of you know well, and kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Wow. And I'm going to be just picking up on chapter 4. He builds up, and there's so much in there. In chapter 4, and he says this, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Here he is, in prison. As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Always strikes me, here's this guy, and in poor situation, and going through this stuff that he's going through, his difficult journey, and the vision he has for not just the salvation of the Ephesus community, but of the whole world. And he goes on in this letter to talk about the heavens and the whole universe being impacted by the risen Lord Jesus. I found myself at a prayer meeting the other day here early on a Friday morning, and the prayer turned to state of the nation, all that sort of stuff that can do, and somebody mentioned, oh, we could soon go to prison for preaching the gospel or doing this and doing this, and within me rose this spirit of, bring it on! And everybody else went a bit quiet, but I was thinking to myself, actually, God does the most significant things with the most significant people in world history in prison. Is that true? And here is Paul. I suppose if he wasn't in prison, he'd be journeying left, right, and the centre doing all sorts of stuff. But God says, actually, I'm going to put you in here because I need you to write some of this stuff down. Because it might be useful in generations to come. Possibly. And he says this, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you. It's passionate. It's positive. Urge you to live a life worthy of your calling. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another. Humble, patient, bearing with one another. Do you know, as a family, we're all very different. And it's an interesting thing for me. If I go to a meeting where there's a lot of evangelists, I love it. And I thought, oh, isn't this fantastic? All these evangelists here, oh, they're great guys. And actually, that's not what church is about. Because actually, prophets get that when they meet a bunch of prophets, apostles, Bible teachers. They go along and they love it because they're like-minded people. But actually, in the body of Christ, we're all different. We have different giftings. Be humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another. What we need to run together as a church is the oil of the Holy Spirit. We're all different with different giftings built together in a body that's giving glory to God and is having an impact in the heavens. Yesterday I did tea for free in the morning and I met this couple and they're just chatting a bit and they said, oh, we got this church, whatever. I thought, oh dear, more chats with Christians. I could do without this. Spending all this time talking to Christians, evangelist stuff, and I'm thinking, this is fine. And then they start to say, well, actually, we sort of sneak in at the back and we just go to Evensong. I was like, okay. And I said, how do you feel about that? And the lady said, well, it's funny, she said, you've never heard of it, but I spent 3 years of my childhood on this missionary boat called the Logos. I went, yeah. And the other guy says, well, he says, you've probably never been to the sort of church I went to, Arbor's. I became a Christian in a Pentecostal church. I went, oof, so did I. And so slowly with these two, started to unpack that God had actually got much more for them. And they knew they were far from where God wanted them. And so the prayer of restoration took place on the streets of Ely with three of us standing there in the busyness of a market town, asking them to invite God back into their lives and to get back on track with Jesus. Because they've got a call. And because it's so easy to drift away. Be faithful to your call. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. When Paul says to this church, make every effort, it's because it's not easy. It's not easy. It takes positive action for each of us to make every effort. Because there is one body, one Spirit. You were called to one hope. When you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There is not a different gospel. There is not a different Lord. There is not a different salvation. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned. I tend to find when I'm talking to Christians sometimes, and it saddens me, that their life is more marked by negative experiences and a sense of rejection and guilt than it is by the grace of God. Grace is amazing, and it's freely available. And there are many things I've done and been involved with that I'm not proud of at all, but actually I'm aware that I am continually grateful to the grace of God poured into my life. Each one, grace has been given. We've been given resources, time, grace. And on a busy day, I remember people saying to me, Martin, there is always enough time in the day to do what God has planned for you to do. There is always more than enough grace to meet your needs before the throne of God. There is always enough resources to meet your call in God if you trust in Him. Grace, throw yourself on the pile of grace. Throw yourself. One of the things that happens at home is various combinations of slides and paddling pools. It's coming up that season. And we have small boys that are in that age, and I'm dreading it, because they'll tend to build things with piles of rickety wood with slides on top, and it will involve a 6-foot plunge from this rickety thing into a paddling pool. And I'm never very looking forward to it. My health and safety conscience gets the better of me. And but actually, actually, there's something about me that wants to kill a fantastic experience, and I think, let's do this thing. How can I do it safely? Because actually, I want to know the God of grace in that way, into a deep pool of forgiveness and restoration. And for many of us, we're putting our toes in this deep, deep vat of grace. Paul goes on to say, this is what it says: when he ascended on high, he took many captives and he gave gifts to his people. Quoting a psalm, he's sort of checking the psalm and sort of changing it a little bit. But he goes on to say in this passage about what does he ascended mean if he also descended to the lower earthly regions. And it goes on and on about ascended and descended. But the key thing is here, he talks about he brought gifts for men. And the amazing thing is about the resurrection. There's so many reasons this stuff happens. We tend to think about the resurrection that it was good for him to go because he was in the Holy Spirit. It was good for him to show he's alive because he's overcome death and hell and Hades. And he's alive forevermore to intercede for us at the right hand side of the Father. But it also is quite clear he ascended from Hades and from death to give us gifts. Wow. Gifts. What gifts? You might think it's okay, what gifts has God given us? And you may well think, okay, he's given us salvation. He's given us grace. He's given us mercy. He's given us spiritual gifts that Michael talked about this morning. But he actually gives a very special gift. This is what he says. So Christ gave, this is his gift, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I am so thankful in my life for prophets, for pastors, for evangelists, for teachers, for apostles, who have spoken into my life in very different ways, but have allowed me and the working of God's Spirit to do something in my life, to take it from something that had no value at all, to redeem me and to shower me with grace and to speak into my life. I am so grateful. Is there room for more? Yes. There's room for much, much more. The passage says, if we have input from gifted people that God has called, we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and deceitful scheming. That we'd know God's word. We would know his Spirit. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature people of him who is the head, that is Christ. For him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up. I love this passage because this passage came to me to preach on he ascended and gave gifts to men. And I was chatting to Paul about it and started to read it, and I had no idea when I really felt it come to me, that it was just so relevant to today. For the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself in love as each part does its work. We have gifts from God. God has called and equipped each one of us, and we can build each other up. And we've just had a gift day where we brought gifts to the front for a building project. But actually, each of us here, whether you see yourself as an apophet, a prophet, an apostle, an evangelist, a teacher, this passage is very clear that we're each a gift to this church. You're each a gift. And what the passage says is, I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling. And these gifts are in envelopes. They need unwrapping, some of them. And as we look at a new church that, for many of us, when we saw an empty field, thought, how on earth are we going to get from there to there? Any of you thought that? Even Paul did. How on earth are we going to get from there? I remember it was horribly windy and wet, and I'm thinking to myself, faith, arise! Come on! But God has called us. He's called us here. He's equipped us with people around us. And you're not here by accident. You're not here as a passenger. You're not here as a burden. You're a gift to the people of God. So I'd like you to look round at people and say to three people, you are a gift of God. Off you go. Each of us are responsible for each other. We are a gift to the people around us. The encouragement that many of you give, and I'm sure you would all echo this, through small things, is massive. When it's in God, it's amplified. It's amplified. So instead of speaking the truth, we grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. God has invested a lot in this project. He's also invested a lot in you. And as we see the project being built in just a very short time as we go up to the new site, also in our lives, God is building. And you are a gift to this church. He's equipped you and poured into you such a lot. So I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling and know the grace of God that is beyond measure and deeper than we will ever know. Amen. Amen.